In today's therapy tip of the week, we are back talking about the use of some kind of outcome measures. And I got to say this though, I know there's a lot of people who are using some kind of outcome measures. However, we are using it most of the time, if at all, using it only as a kind of evaluative tool where they measure pre and post. I would argue that we need to use it more as a conversational tool, which we talked about in previous video, which means we want to use this at every step of the way, at every session point, and to take our minds to use it more as a tool for listening as opposed to a tool of getting some kind of objectified view of where they're at. But for the therapy tip of the week this week, what I'm going to suggest for you to do is that you listen to the differences between sessions in terms of their rating. In addition, even when people are using this in a pre-post measure for their well-being, most people are measuring a very narrow bandwidth about a person's life, like their symptoms, maybe a DAS scale, maybe a Beck's depression inventory or whatever. Like it's quite specific. I'm not saying that it's not useful, but it is a small part. You know, it's not a complete picture of the person. Instead, what I would recommend for people to do is to measure a person's global well-being instead. And a footnote, I just saw a thesis, a dissertation piece written by Melissa Bond, which is a great one, sophisticated statistical one as well, looking at why the DAS tool is not meant to be used as a repeated measure tool and why it can overestimate and underestimate at the same time a person's depression, anxiety, and stress scale. So back to the point of the therapy tip of the week. The tip for this week is that if we're aligned to use that as a conversational tool, I would like you to play around with the idea that when you measure somebody's well-being session by session, you seek to compare and contrast their well-being and listen when things change. Now, of course, our lives are not going to be flatliners, ups and downs, but clue in to things when they improve because you want to learn what happened, what did they do, what contributed to this change. That's where you could ask, what's changed, right? That's when it really makes sense. Even when things go down, you want to learn what's happening as well. Now, this sounds awfully simplistic, but it's such a rich gem to be able to tap and harness into what's happening in a person's life. In fact, Klein factors, extra therapeutic factors that are beyond what's happening in the therapy room, has about 80 to 87% that accounts for improvement in therapy. So your job is to be able to tap into that, to be able to harness that, to be clued in, to be adaptive to the situation when that happens, so that if things improve, you could amplify some things that they're doing. Maybe it's a task that they did in between sessions. Maybe it's something out of the blue that happened, and you want to graph learnings of what they were doing and try to transfer that into other aspects of their life. If things went down, you want to clue in about the struggles. You want to learn about what kind of distress that they were happening. Was some kind of trauma that got re-triggered, and so on. So that's the therapy tip of the week. Compare and contrast and be able to have that visible in front of you so that you and your client cannot avoid that. You could see that in front of you when it's visible. And if you have not subscribed to the Frontiers video series, don't forget to click that. Tell us what you think in the comments below. And also, we've got the Frontiers Friday handpicked recommendations that comes out each week, that we curate 5 ideas that you can use in your professional development and you can use to feed yourself to go at your frontier. Thanks for staying tuned.